Welcome to Pilates Elephants. I am Raphael Bender. Today I have a question from a listener, and the question is about a toxic studio environment. So basically the question is, how do I know when an environment isn't right for my own state? I've experienced this before, but kept pushing through and trying to please. So examples of some of those kind of toxic issues are internal comms going off constantly. So I'm imagining like texts or Slack or, you know, WhatsApp or whatever, you know, going off all hours of the day and night. Pressure to do tasks outside of working hours, which makes extra hours outside of the actual teaching. And so I want to talk to these things. I think this is a great question, and I thank you, dear anonymous listener, for sending it in. Because I think this is a simple but not necessarily easy fix. So I think it's very simple what you need to do this, but it basically involves setting boundaries. And dear listener, I'm pretty sure you already knew that was going to involve setting boundaries. So this probably won't be a great surprise. So I think this comes down to being transparent with expectations before you begin. Now, it's not too late to come clean and to be clear and to set down boundaries, and I'll get to that presently. But I think the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. And so the best time to set expectations about workplace, responsibilities is before you agree to work somewhere. So I guess I would even go back, to kind of the layer beneath the expectations. And I would say, I'm going to have to make a whole bunch of assumptions here, dear listener, because I don't know, any more particulars than what I've read to you. But if I try and make this as generic as possible, so like, in other words, as applicable as possible to as many you as possible, to as many situations as possible, well, I think I can broadly generalize and say pretty much most of us in this industry get into Pilates because we love Pilates and it's a passion project. You know, we love Pilates and we love helping people and we love being around people who love Pilates and we love the environment of, fitness and health positive vibes that comes with Pilates. And so it's not like, working at the local, Quickie Mart, where it's like just for the hourly wage. That's the only reason we're doing it. I'm pretty sure there's no one listening to this who's, just clocking on and clocking off. And so it's a passion, it's a vocation, we're called to do it for most of us. So I'd say probably all of us. So in my view, that should be, in a perfect world, a job where it's a pleasure to do the extra things. And when I say extra things, I'm imagining, putting the teacups in the dishwasher after class, packing up the studio, saying goodbye to the clients, sending text messages to the clients outside of class time. I'm not sure exactly what, but, those types of things that basically help the place run well and give better service to the clients. Now, in a perfect world, it would be a pleasure to do those things because we like helping people. Now, it would also be the case in a perfect world that our studio owner employer would like to pay us to do those things because they also want those things done because they also want great service and to bring more happiness, joy, and results to their clients. And I know as an employer myself that I certainly notice when employees go above and beyond, the bare minimum required level of showing up, clocking on, being physically present for 8 hours and then clocking off. I notice when people answer student Slack messages at 10 at night or on weekends, for example. And whilst I would never say to somebody in a job interview, hey, if you want to work here, you have to answer student Slack messages on weekends and at 10 p.m. at night. I like having somebody who works with me who wants to do those things because they need doing. And it's a pleasure to do them. And so, you know, in a Pilates studio situation, as an owner, I would want somebody who just is dispositionally incapable of walking out and leaving the studio a mess because it's just not the way you do it. So they would always stick around for 5 minutes after class and tidy up. And somebody who's, I would want somebody who's dispositionally incapable of just leaving straight away and not saying goodbye to the clients, or just arriving 1 minute before the class start time and not welcoming the clients and, you know, chatting with them beforehand and signing them in and remembering their names. So I guess strictly as an owner, what I'm paying for is not the hour of the class. What I'm paying for is the result of the class being full of happy clients. And the behaviors that are going to cause that result include what you do inside the class and some things you do outside the class. Now, where the boundaries and the expectation setting and the transparency comes in is that I think, you know, before anyone is offered a job, these expectations should be on the table. You know, the owner should say, hey, look, I'm not paying you to be a person with a heartbeat in that room for an hour. I'm paying you for a full class. And anything you do in or out of that class that contributes to that class being full on a regular basis is what I'm paying you for. And that may include posting on social media, reaching out to clients, being 10 minutes early so you can welcome people to class, staying 10 minutes late so you can clean up the props and say goodbye to people, putting the teacups in the dishwasher afterwards, etc. And in a good workplace, you'll have actual systems and processes in place to do these things. But, you know, most small businesses won't necessarily have a set of procedures around this. You'll just have to figure it out yourself. But dear listener, if you want to be the most popular instructor in the studio, these are the things that need doing. And the pay should reflect the expectation. Like if I want someone who's just going to clock in and clock out and do the absolute bare minimum, they're going to show up 2 minutes before the class, teach an adequate class and then disappear, I'm going to pay the minimum wage. Now, I don't want a studio where I have instructors who do that. And I imagine no studio owners want a studio like that either. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a situation where in my studio, I can generate enough profit per class that I can pay well above the minimum wage and I can have well above minimum wage expectations of my team. And I will make those expectations transparent. And in my experience as an employer, those team members who are aligned with the vision and the values and the philosophy and the mission of the studio don't need a process to tell them to be early for class to talk with the clients. They don't need a process to tell them to clean up the studio afterwards. They just do it because they can't physically walk out of the studio if it's messy, and they can't not engage with the clients. It's just how they're wired. And so as a studio owner, I look for those people and then I try and make as few rules as possible and just let them do what comes natural. But it's important to be clear at the job interview stage that, you know, I'm not just paying you to be a, you know, a warm body inside that room for 60 minutes. I'm paying you for the result of a full class of happy clients on a regular basis. And so anything you do in and out, in or out of that room that contributes to that result is what I'm paying you for. And, dear listener, if you're an employee or a potential employee and you're in a situation like that and an owner says something like that to you, you know, what I would say if I were in your situation, if I were a potential employee and I was talking to a potential employer, I would say, well, if I resonate with the philosophy and the values and the mission of this studio, and I'm aligned with what you're trying to do here, and I believe in the mission, well, I'm going to go above and beyond to help contribute to that mission, because that is my mission too. That's why I'm teaching Pilates. So I want a workplace where I can contribute more. And I also want to be remunerated for that, because that's a fair exchange of value. And so, you know, I want to be an employee who goes well above and beyond the bare minimum, and I want to be remunerated well above the bare minimum as well. And so I think that's a fair exchange of value. And so what can you do in a situation where you're already in a situation like this? Well, I think it's just an opportunity to have an honest conversation with your employer at a time when neither of you are, you know, stressed about this particular issue. So make a neutral time, a neutral place where you can privately discuss this and say, hey, look, I'd like to talk to you. It's about my experience at the workplace culture. And I want to have an honest conversation with you and say to them, hey, look, there are some things I love about working here. Thing one, thing two, thing three. Okay. And there are some things I don't love about working here. Thing one, thing two, thing three. Okay. And for me to continue working here, the things that I don't love would need to change. And they would need to look more like this. Okay, so all right, so if there's comms constantly going off, what would that look like for that to be, you know, doable, workable for you? No more than, you know, X number of messages per day, messages only within certain times, messages only in a certain medium, you know, whatever it might be. Pressure to do tasks outside of working hours, I would approach that by saying, hey, look, and this, you know, depends on the pay situation, right? Depends on your philosophical alignment. So firstly, if you're not philosophically aligned with the studio, I'd say don't work there, go work somewhere else. Because it sounds like you don't, you know, they're asking you to do more than you want to do. And I would say if there's somewhere that you're philosophically aligned with, and you're being paid commensurately for your contribution, well, it would be, in that case, for most of us, I imagine, a pleasure to contribute. So either there's not a philosophical alignment or there's not sufficient pay or both. And so you would just need to say, hey, look, you know, first, if you're not philosophically aligned, just don't even have the conversation, just go find another job. But if you are philosophically aligned around the mission of the studio and the values and the way that they teach Pilates, but you just feel like the workplace culture is not where it needs to be for you to feel satisfied, well, I would just say, hey, look, you know, here are the things that I love about working here, who are the things I don't love about working here, just be 100% transparent and upfront. Don't sugarcoat it. And just say, hey, you know, for me to continue working here, here are the four things that would need to be different, and here's what they would need to look like. You know, thing one, thing two, thing three, thing four. And thing one of those things might be pay. Okay. And one of them might be hours. Okay. But, you know, you should, this shouldn't be presented as just a, you know, list of demands. It should be a collaboration, an invitation to collaborate, because in a great workplace culture, it's very collaborative, and it's not you versus the employer or versus the other team members. It's like everybody working together to achieve a common goal, right? So how can we collectively achieve our goals of the mission and the vision and the values of the studio? And in order for that to be sustainable for me, here's what I need, and here's what I would like to contribute to that. Right, I would love to come early and welcome the clients and sweep the studio and line the props up. Right, but in order to do that, I have to get child minding for an extra half hour. So I would need an extra whatever amount of money, right, in order to make that feasible for me. Or I would need to be put on a different class that's at a later time where I don't have to get extra child minding, or whatever the situation is for you, right? So not just a list of demands, but a list of, an invitation to collaborate, and a list of ways that you would like to contribute as well. And like I said, if you feel like there's not a values alignment there, don't even pass go or collect $200. Just go look for another job. Because if you don't feel like there's a fundamental level of philosophical agreement, none of this is going to work. All right, dear listener, I hope you found that helpful. Much love. See you in the next one. If you're a long-time listener and you find value in this podcast and you want to give something back that's going to take you less than a minute, please rate and review this show on your podcast app. Just take 60 seconds. Give me 5 stars and write a few words sharing what you've learned or how this has improved your life. That would really make a difference.